welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is your host and producer, Cindy Faith Solomon, coming to you from the beautiful Oakland Hills in the San Francisco Bay Area of California, broadcasting live out of Studio132.com with BZ Lewis, six-time Emmy-winning sound engineer and musician, excellent day. Today is February 12th, 2014, if you're in the United States. And today, I'm delighted to talk with Robert Noble, who's the CEO of Noble Environmental Technologies, that is NET, N-E-T. And we're going to talk about how he is disrupting green tech with innovative product design, using low and no-value materials and turning them into extremely high-value products. So the Global Product Management Talk is a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We have regularly scheduled broadcast discussions of vital issues affecting professionals passionate about product excellence, product management, startups, marketing, innovation, and methodology. And I'm delighted to talk with thought leaders from the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond. And we are brought to you this week by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, promoting worldwide excellence in product management education. They are the only worldwide certifying body of product professionals and product management professionals. Check them out at www.aipmm.com. And they have an excellent webinar series on Fridays. And I'm delighted to be joining them. I will be doing Fridays with Cindy, brought to you by the AIPMM. So more information coming up. Thank you to the Webcast Digest, daily curated educational webcasts, webinars, and free online events for your continuous learning. Go to startupproduct.com/webcasts and follow on Twitter at Webcast Digest. Thank you to the Startup Product Movement for Product Excellence, forwarding product leaders with innovative approaches and continuous learning opportunities at startupproduct.com. And it is a growing community. I want to do a shout-out to new meetups that have joined the Startup Product Movement. There are now two meetups in Colombia, one in Medellin. I apologize for the mispronunciation. And one in Bogota, just starting up. So if you are in South America, in Colombia, definitely check them out. You can find out about the communities at startupproduct.com under community. Shout out to a new community in Asheville, North Carolina, coming on board, and a new community in the South Bay of San Francisco, Startup Product Silicon Valley, as well as a few other startups in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Growth Hacking San Francisco, and another meetup. I have to read all the names. So startups, communities are welcome to align with the Startup Product Movement, SF Bootstrap, and Growth Hacking Entrepreneurs in San Mateo. Welcome. Also, a shout out to the Product Camp communities. I'm excited to be attending Product Camp South Florida coming up in a week and a half on February 22nd. It is a free unconference for product managers, product marketers, brand marketers, project managers in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale. It is also on the calendar at startupproduct.com under calendar, and you can find them on the web at Product Camp SFL, Product Camp South Florida, excited to join the community and present. And there are other events coming up. Let's see, let me check my news. Oh, yes, very important survey. The third annual global study of product team performance on the dynamics of product team performance, which identifies factors that impede or improve product development outcomes. Take the survey before April 7th, and you will receive the free white paper of results of the survey. Go to manage.questionpro.com, manage, QUESTIONPRO.com. It's brought to you by Actuation Consulting. And follow our tweets. By the way, we are on Twitter. We started as a Twitter chat. At PRODMGMTTALK, that is Prod Management Talk. Our hashtag is pound, PRODMGMTTALK. And listen to us live on Blog Talk Radio. We are at www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. And if you are listening live, you're welcome to call into the show at 323-927-2957, because the best live listening quality is to call in to listen live. And our sound engineer, BC Lewis, will either mute you or bring you in to speak with myself and our guest, Robert Noble. So let me tell you a bit about Robert. He is the founder and CEO of Noble Environmental Technologies. He's an architect, environmental designer, industrial designer, and environmental technology entrepreneur. He's been the recipient of numerous regional and national awards for his industrial and architectural designs and green technology innovations. Early in his career, Mr. Noble dedicated himself to mission-founded enterprises, which would force a convergence of environmentally committed professional design services and clean product and manufacturing technologies with the realities of many large commercial markets and the building industry. He's attended UC San Diego, UC Berkeley, Harvard Graduate School of Design, Harvard Business School, and Cambridge University Graduate Department of Architecture. You can follow him on Twitter at Ecor Global, that is ECORGLOBAL. And let me tell you about Noble Environmental Technologies Corp. is an innovative and market disruptive technology company. It has developed in partnership with the USDA Forest Products Laboratory an exclusive, environmentally superior, three-dimensional, engineer-molded fiber, 3D EMF composite panel technology. These panels are used to replace and or minimize the use of traditional wood and other wood-derived products, including medium-density fiberboard, particle board, cardboard, and also injection-molded and thermo form plastic and other materials. And there is a very cool video about it on YouTube, and you can find it at startupproduct.com on the blog. So Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Welcome, and very excited to have you.
Well, I'm excited too. Thanks for the great introduction. Listening to all my background, my educational background, everything, it almost makes me tired just hearing the whole story, but thank you for that.
Well, it is certainly quite impressive.
Thank you.
So I have a few questions. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of questions for you, but just to start off with some context about, so you're very involved with sustainability. So, you know, I'm coming from a software tech and, you know, environment. So I don't really think of hard tech or physical products all that much. So could you give us a bit of an intro and some context about the importance of sustainability and your take on it?
Okay. And speaking as an architect and a developer of let's say clean green materials, you know, architects and designers, I would say, have been at the forefront of an advocacy and an interest in clean materials, safe materials, non-toxic materials, and let's say responsible, environmentally responsible buildings. And so early on in my career, even my education, when I started in architecture at Berkeley, I loved the focus, as did the school, on environmental design. And so I sort of got the bug very early when I was quite young. What architects need, what builders need, and what, of course, consumers need is that they need responsible materials. They need to be in environmentally suitable and superior buildings, and they haven't been. And so the commitment that has grown so much over the last, especially the last 10 to 20 years, to environmentally responsible buildings and materials, and even design protocols, has gained so much traction finally. And now we're seeing not only LEED buildings, and LEED is a great example of an excellent, say, evaluation criteria and certification for building.
1 minute.
But now we're seeing a focus on materials. And, of course, cradle-to-cradle certification is one of the excellent standards that is growing rapidly around looking at materials and them being responsible. So, personally, I've had a lifelong focus on these things. And as a company, of course, we're a mission-founded company. We've founded a company in building it to provide those responsible materials and also provide materials that are great to use, fun to design with, and so designers can, let's say, realize their sketches, their concepts.
Awesome. So, excuse me, Robert, but I want to do a shout out to the Edison Awards and to Matt Hensler. And I understand, well, how I met you is that, so Ecor Global is actually an Edison Awards finalist, which is very exciting, and I totally support the Edison Awards focus on product excellence and business excellence and innovation.
Well, the Edison Awards, I was fortunate to be a recipient. My company was a recipient back in the 90s, in the early days of the Edison Awards, especially around the environmental achievement. But it's grown so much. I think it was either last year or the year before that I attended the award ceremony. And then, fortunately, this year we're a finalist, so hopefully we'll win. And I'm told that Elon Musk is getting an award at the event. I'm hoping to meet him. I'm a fan of him as one of the greatest entrepreneurs of all time. But it's a great honor, and the Edison Awards is getting more and more attention, so I think that's fantastic.
Yes, it's a great honor for Startup Product to also align with them. So, awesome. So great. So, yeah, so I can see that our architects would be at the front. And now we're seeing in new tech and startup, you know, not only environmentally focused, but design, you know, sustainable design across all mediums is so important and so appropriate. It's almost like it's about time that this got infused into everything that we're developing. We need to be thinking long-term about the impact of products on the environment and on the quality of life now and in the future.
Well, yeah, I to use your words, it's about time. It's been long overdue. However, it's a sort of a monumental change to the way things have been done. It's very exciting to see what's happening right now. And you mentioned the design, and of course, that's at the end of the day, a product like ours, a technology like Ecor, will only be successfully commercialized if it's successful for the designers to use and to create new things. The environmental responsibility of products is critical, but the economics of the products and the what I call post-production, the products that are made from our products, are really the driver. And so, of course, as a company, we've been focused on this: what is the value proposition for our customers? And all these things together, we see as a sort of a massive convergence of new, a valuable technology combined with sustainability, combined with really nothing short of a revolution worldwide in the design freedom. I mean, the what designers can do now compared to 20, 30, 40 years ago is extraordinary. There's support across all industries to see creativity and innovation, and it's part of our whole dialogue now. So we're happy to be, you know, part of what we consider to be a really monumental revolution in design. But these are all important components of a shift, sort of a paradigm shift as we see it.
So a paradigm shift to including sustainability into the embedded in the design from the beginning.
Yeah. Let me elaborate a little bit on that. And speaking from where we are, but also what we see. E-Core is a product, but it's also a conversion technology. The vast majority of the funding that we've received over the last several years has gone to the conversion technology. And what that means is that if you look at the big problems, and this is sort of a global look, the big problems, the biggest problem in a sense is underutilized materials and waste materials. And of course, so many leaders in industry and sustainability have been addressing this for a long time. But we have raw materials, recycled materials, cardboard, paper, newsprint, magazines, and lots of other materials, wood waste. And they're high quality raw materials, but they have been underutilized. Certainly in the 20th century, they were underutilized. But they're creating tremendous problems. You know, you have landfills, and then you have incineration, or let's say non-responsible incineration, and a lot of other, let's say, not satisfactory, directions for the waste to go. Well, now that's all changing, and more of the cellulose fiber, the cardboard and paper and other things like that, are being recycled into paper. So that's good. From our point of view, it's an underutilization of those materials, because what we do is we take those same materials that typically are valued between $0 and $200 a ton, and we convert them into 20, 30, 40 times that value instead of just 5 times that value by the E-Core conversion process. But what we're doing with all that is on the other side of the equation, and that is the products. There is a tremendous need for new products, innovative products, environmentally responsible products, easy to engineer and fabricate products, and that's really the big driver. If there aren't product opportunities, then you cannot, you know, succeed with building a company and a new product. But this is a very responsible, there's responsibility happening on both sides now, finally, after all these years. Sustainability and responsible practices on the waste stream side and on the product application side and the product purchasing side. So it's really, we are very, very optimistic and very positive about the trend and the shift that's taking place. Our job is to be in the middle of it, to convert those fantastic raw materials, which we used to consider trash, and convert them into phenomenal new products that are gorgeous, and they curve and they shape and they're colored and textured and do all kinds of wonderful things in buildings and in other places.
So we would really benefit from the visual when people see the video, and I'll retweet that out as well. It's just amazing. So your company, E-Core Global, is it just this one product, the E-Core, or is it a whole bunch of them? Are you essentially making the raw materials available? So this was 10 questions wrapped in one, Bob.
Okay. Well, no, but that's a really good question, and obviously there's a lot to know. The company is Noble Environmental Technologies. Our lead product and technology is called E-Core, and it is both a technology and a product. We, as I said, we spent years, and actually we co-developed, we worked in alliance with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Forest Products Lab in Madison, Wisconsin, under what's called the CRADA, not to be too technical, but it's a cooperative research and development agreement. And we developed a number of new inventions with them and alone as Noble Environmental to advance the called a wet process pressure molding technology that allows for making E-Core, which is, it's a product, but it's a variety of products, literally hundreds or thousands of different versions because of different raw materials that we can use, different thicknesses that we can create, different additives we can use, but it's all E-Core. So it's one product, but it's also thousands of products, and I don't know if that's helpful, but that's your listeners can visit the website, I think that they can get a glimpse of what that is. However, having said that, our company is Noble Environmental Technologies. We are looking at being on the leading edge of environmental technologies that are related to materials that are used in the built environment. And there are many things that are happening that have not been launched yet. So our longer-term goal is to be central to getting these things out and innovating new technologies. But that's the longer-term goal. For the time being, we have actually, as of the next few days, we are turning on a large production facility in the country of Serbia in a town called Kraljevo. Kraljevo Tovnik, which is in the middle of Serbia. And that has happened because we expanded in Europe and a number of major investors came in, and the European market's very important to us. And so we are now transitioning into full-scale production. And then our plan, of course, is to have a large-scale factory producing here in the U.S. before the end of the year. And that's a major focus of ours. That's what half the people in our company are working on day and night.
Excellent. So, okay. So let me view. I think, let's see. So for other companies to achieve sustainability, what kinds of, what is the process for a company to buy in and to get involved with using your materials, even starting from designers, individuals, can they access the base materials to do their designs? What is the process for that?
Well, that of course is a great question. They can contact us, and then they can purchase our materials. That's that number one. And it doesn't matter really the scale. It could be an architecture student who wants to build their models of their designs, their topographical sites and their scale models. It could be that. It could be a furniture designer who wants to incorporate E-Core instead of particle board and plywood and MDF in furniture or shelving. It could be a manufacturer who's interested in utilizing our material for making hangers or point-of-purchase displays. And in fact, all the things that I'm telling you are things that are happening. It goes on and on. It can be a large corporation, as an example, Google and Microsoft and Starbucks and others who've had their designers in-house and then also outsourced, their designers contact us, learn from us about how to use the material, design, and then it becomes specified in the installation. So it happens in a variety of ways. I think for starters, anybody interested should just look at our website and take a look at the videos and take a look at the images, and then of course Google us and find out more. And then contact us and run their ideas past us. We are not just a manufacturer. We are architects, industrial designers. In fact, I would say half of our value proposition is that we are designers, and we fabricate prototypes for products with a number of companies and a number of design groups. And that's sort of the bridge from a technology and a product, a panel product, into the market. We are the bridge. We co-design. We have collaborations with design firms, and we love seeing our material get out there. Is that helpful?
That is extremely helpful. I want to do a shout out to Gil Zilberfeld, who is tweeting to Hans Lerum, tweeting, and Rob Nevin, a bunch of other people who are listening as well. So, excellent. So, if someone wants in their company, and I know you do a lot of evangelism of using sustainable materials. So you suggested that some companies might have a sustainable brands manager. And so I suspect those would be in manufacturing companies and certainly companies that are using in environmental products. So what is involved in a sustainability report?
Well, I'll give you, well, of course, I'll address that. I think I understand your question. Here, being involved in corporations and large, large nonprofits, and then, of course, around sustainability and architecture and construction, what I'm seeing is virtually every company now has a sustainability manager, a chief green officer. It doesn't matter what the name is, but somebody who has typically the passion and the experience to help drive the agenda for the company. And this is a major shift over even a few years ago. And so that's very encouraging. They have a very large role in understanding certainly what we're doing and understanding what they need as a company, as an organization, to move their sustainability objectives forward. And so we work with many lead sustainability officers for corporations, and that's an important component for each of those companies to clarify what they want to do and how they're going to do it. There are so many things. It's a vast world of directions and possibilities. But simply put, the tools are really in place, and I'd say there are very few technology hurdles to solve 99% of the not only problems but move an organization forward with the best solutions. Lead is a great standard for anybody addressing doing a building, and there are others, and in Europe there are a number of them. So my view is they're all valuable because they cause a process of exploration of what the opportunities are. Buildings need to be made healthy, and that means that they have to have very low energy usage. They have to have alternative and renewable energy sources of solar thermal, solar photovoltaic, wind, even biomass. Doesn't matter. What matters is that these alternative sources have very positive environmental effects. And that's just on the energy side. What about the indoor air quality, the off-gassing of formaldehyde, which is extremely common, especially from materials that are generally produced outside of the U.S. now, but that's changing too. We don't want to have VOCs and toxic fumes coming out of our carpet and our paints and our ceilings and our panel products and shelving and you name it. And that's all got to change, and that's the direction that things are flowing. But our concern is broader than that. In other words, we have to look at how even responsible products are manufactured. There may be a very low VOC adhesive or binder in a product, but it may be very toxic to handle and to ship. And that means the people who are driving the trucks and they're opening the valves and they're pumping those materials into tanks, they're exposed to these things. And that they wreak havoc on the waste stream after the product's useful life. So we look at it from a broader perspective than just the product itself. It's really critical. We think this is, simply put, this is the direction that we're going as a company, but this is what every company needs to do. We call it a living factory. Our factories are designed to have literally as close to 100% as you can get in closed-loop water recycling through the process. We have no effluent coming out of our factory in Serbia. There's zero effluent. We have no toxic materials. There are no additives. And it's possible, and we did it because we simply said, is it possible, and can you do it? And so we did. Is that helpful?
That's extremely helpful. And what I certainly appreciate in this conversation about defining what is product excellence, and that is key to the definition, that an excellent product is something that does not harm any living thing from inception to recycling or sunsetting or end of life of the product. And often, you know, certainly we see in the electronics industry that the product itself may not be harmful to use, but it might be harmful to the people who are manufacturing it or coming in contact with it, and certainly it's harmful to the environment to recycle them. And these are long-term discussions or considerations that I think are important to, as you say, not only the architects and the designers, but the people who are managing the products to recognize the effect of that product over the long term.
Well, I love the way you put this, is that we can have products. We can have buildings. We can have energy sources that do not harm. They just don't harm. And I think I'm thinking of my friend Bill McDonough, who is, you know, an extraordinary visionary around really reframing the dialogue and even the definitions of sustainability. And as everybody who knows Bill knows, he talks about less bad and more good. Our entire equation is on the more good side of the ledger. In other words, since we started initially with a blank sheet of paper looking at how cellulose fibers stick together, we've had the opportunity to start with a blank sheet of paper on everything related not only to the product but to the manufacturing processes and the building, the business model. The whole idea here is to revisit everything. We have the opportunity to revisit everything. The way particle board and plywood and MDF and plastic, whether it's injection molded or thermoformed, these are all, let's say, commodity production technologies, and it's very hard to change them. Even with small incremental changes over time, they still remain the same. We had the opportunity and took the chance of starting from absolute scratch and revisiting everything. So we have the chance to question and change everything because we were starting anew. It is possible to have a factory that is net zero, in fact, is energy positive. It is possible to have no effluent going out. That doesn't mean we're just cleaning up the effluent. It means that we don't have any effluent. And that question, just the question, is this what we like? This is the ideal? Is this possible? Well, the answer is when you drive towards a solution, if you start from that premise, is that oftentimes it is possible. You just didn't give yourself the opportunity. So that's what we've done as a company. We are not there yet. We certainly are there with the product. There's no question. We have Pharos. We have Cradle to Cradle. We provide lead credits and all that stuff. It's a eco. In fact, I call it eco astounding. Jim Torti, our president and chief operating officer, is really fond of saying it's eco ridiculous. So we have that down. That's a done deal. What we don't have down yet is, since our first factory is now just starting and we haven't completed everything related to the infrastructure, we don't have down a living factory. But that is our mission, is to have every factory be a living factory. So I may be going on too long here. I'll let you interrupt and chime in, Cindy.
So that's excellent. And, no, I really appreciate it. So you mentioned that when you're starting from the beginning, and here is the excitement of, you know, startups and bringing a startup thinking into a corporate atmosphere. You know, look, when you're starting from the beginning, you can start from ground zero. You can learn from the past, and you don't have to break down anything. You can question all of the assumptions and all of the precedents. It's a lot harder when you have something in place to deconstruct and reconstruct. So do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, I think, you know, you put it very well. I mean, anybody knows when they think about remodeling their house or building a new one, Remodeling is generally seen to be a little bit easier, but at the end of the day, sometimes it's better to just build a new house. We had the opportunity to build a new house, but there's so much going on right now, and if I could, I'll just describe it as there is a massive convergence of forces that are happening in sustainability, in materials, in worldwide economics. And I would describe it this way, and this is not, I haven't fully, developed the concept. It's not in our book yet. We are writing a book on E-Core. It's, I would say, sustainability, entrepreneurship, innovation, and design are all now a massive explosions in all of these areas. Everybody's looking for innovation. Everybody is seeing innovation. We are funding innovation, especially in the United States. Design, the acceptance of let's get quality design. I mean, look at an iPhone, look at a Tesla. You know, it starts with the design and the beauty and the utility and the rightness of the design. These are just a couple of examples out of thousands. Sustainability, of course. It's common knowledge. 10 years ago when I asked people, how many of you have heard of LEED at a conference, almost no one would raise their hands. Of course, now everybody in the industry knows what LEED is, and more people know what Cradle to Cradle is. So we have sustainability, entrepreneurship, design, and then innovation. These four it's a massive convergence, and what we see our model and our technology and our product as not only being central to that, but we want to enable that. We want to clarify it and support it. We want to put rocket fuel into the engines of the sustainability advocates and the entrepreneurs and the innovators and the designers, because it needs to get done, number one, and we believe that we can. In fact, we're seeing this happen. So it's a very special time. The entrepreneurs who are centrally focused, I mean, especially I would say the younger entrepreneurs, are really in love with everything sustainable, and they demand that it's part of their lives. I think that those two things alone are going to be a massive driver of new materials, new products, new ways of doing business, and I think that we're seeing it now.
I totally agree. As you said, there's a demand for products that are not only beautiful, but are sustainable. And there's even an arrogance about it in certain communities that, I see it in some students. Well, we can't afford to have a lot of things, but what we're going to have is the best, and by best we mean it is beautiful. It's probably expensive because it is also made of the right materials.
You know, that's a really interesting direction of discussion. Typically sustainable products were considered, they were typically more expensive because they were smaller scale, smaller run, and all of that. And that's understandable. But the industry of sustainable products has been addressing that concern and that question and that barrier to sales, that barrier to entry for so long that these most creative people, most creative entrepreneurs who have flocked to sustainability are solving those problems. They're finding ways to make things not just that they're less expensive, but they provide less expensive and more economical total solutions. And so there is the innovation has been applied to the economics, the value proposition, the pricing of the total. And things take, things don't change overnight, as we all know. But those perceptions are actually changed now. We saw a recent study that said even with commodity-type products, generally, and this is now data, these are metrics, 10% higher price on those products in the panel industry. And it's not a speculation. It's not from a pilot study. It's not from a focus group. It's from the actual prices that things are selling. And so that's significant, and that's just with a change of something simple like we're no longer using formaldehyde in our product. Okay, only that will get you a 10% premium. You can imagine the value proposition of things that are truly significantly better for the environment, and people will pay for that. I've got an iPhone sitting here in front of me, and I'm happy to pay the extra for this because it does everything that I need, and it has tremendous value, plus it's a beautiful object. That's the way we think now, and I'm not saying that I don't like my wife's Samsung. I love that too, so I would be using that as an example sitting here. But things have changed, and design is very important. But design doesn't have to be at the expense of expense. In other words, best design actually can be the lowest cost, and that's our mission.
Excellent. So people are very much resonating with the convergence, and as well as Gil is saying, he's delighted to hear about engineering processes. I'm related to software and very much appreciates the knowledge in designing environmental products as well.
Well, I appreciate that because I don't know anything about software other than having bought a ton of it throughout the decades.
And I'm sure I would assume it's driving the back-end infrastructure of your company as well.
Oh, yes, yes. I love software, but I just don't know much about it. I don't know. I'm certainly waiting for your questions, but I did want to mention a couple things, if it's okay.
Please.
You know, we've been working, and you can see how unresolved my statement is because I'm slow to get it out. We've been working on a model that will work locally, and that's the whole intention, is that E-Core, and anybody who watches our videos will understand this, it is about local, local, local. We can use local raw materials, and we can produce products that are consumed locally. At the same time, we have an international business, and our expansion for manufacturing and business development in Europe, in the European market, and then throughout even Russia and the Middle East, is actually accelerating past what we have in the U.S. They both are accelerating, together at the same time. But the principles we're talking about would apply everywhere, and they apply in Brazil as much as Chile, as much as Mexico, as much as China and Malaysia and Australia. And so our mission. And this is the year, 2014, now that the Serbian factory is starting operation as of today. Our mission is to, let's say, follow up on the developing relationships we have in all those countries and more. There's a tremendous amount of interest in our technology and our product from countries throughout the world. So we have a massive initiative to finally respond to the interest and engage with companies in Brazil, in China, in other areas of South America, other locations, Japan, Korea. I can go through the list. It's important for us to phase our expansion reasonably, because it's all very expensive for us to even attend to this. But we have a transformational material and manufacturing technology that is intended to be assimilated and commercialized on a very large scale worldwide. And so that's, of course, our challenge, but we want to make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves and we do everything right, which we've done, I would say, fairly regularly over the last 7 years. But the principles we're talking about, Cindy, are everywhere. They're not just here. You know, here you and I, we're in California, which is, I think it's fair to say, I would say it's one of the greatest places on Earth. But every place on Earth needs what we're doing, and it needs all kinds of products and all kinds of technologies that are going to clean things up and make things safe for people. So I know you didn't ask me a question about that, but it's certainly on my mind to convey.
Let's see. So, hey, we've passed the halfway mark, so I just want to let you know you're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. I'm your host, Cindy Faye Solomon. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Cindy F. Solomon, CandyFSolomon. And this, you can listen to archives of over 100 episodes, also available on iTunes. Just search for PRODMGMTTALK or go to blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK to listen, to follow, and get pinged on upcoming episodes. Hey, if you want to show your love and support our broadcast, you can go to startupproduct.com/underwebcasts and get more information to become a sponsor and to also become a speaker. Okay, so I am talking with Robert Noble, who is a lead-AP, AIA, founder and CEO of Noble Environmental Technologies, talking about his excellent E-Core materials products. And also shout out to our tweeters using the hashtag #PRODMGMTTALK. Thanks to the Edison Awards. And coming back, let's see, I'm just reviewing some things, our questions. Which I think we're covering them. So one of the issues that's always comes up in product development is, you have a choice: brand, price, quality, or availability. Certainly when you're talking about core materials, but you can only choose one. So how do you deal with that?
Can you repeat the question? Brand, price, quality, availability, we have to choose?
So, it's always, when consultants are talking to their clients, and the clients, there's three things. They want it fast, they want it cheap, and they want it excellent. Yeah. Pick one.
I'll tell you, so you got brand, price, quality, and availability. I think it's fair to say that we believe that it's possible for the customer to secure by far the leading brand. In other words, the only brand because of the nature of the industry and what we've done. Strong brand, identifiable brand, E-Core. Price, our price has been very high because our production was limited. We have had to sell our product at a very high price because of limited production. That's changing. Our mission is to change that because our mission is to commercialize this technology. So we believe that within a very short period of time, within less than a year, in fact, even a few months, we have tremendous price advantage over the alternatives for so many thousands of different applications. In other words, using E-Core is going to provide you the way to get the cheapest outcome. And I don't mean cheap in a quality sense. I mean the least expensive outcome. And it's proving out in a number of ways. Quality, highest quality, absolute consistency, absolutely extra. I've never heard a complaint about the quality of an E-Core panel, a base panel. Never. There can be issues related to geometric configurations where it's not designed or engineered for a specific functionality and it doesn't perform well in a prototype, but that's just changed quickly because it's an engineered and engineerable material. So quality will be the highest quality and consistency. And plus, as a company, we do not want any products out there that customers do not like or they're not happy with. Availability, that is certainly a central issue for any company, especially when it's the company that launches it and is scaling up and building it up and can't, let's say, access commodity components of its new product offering. We have to build factories. There's no other way for us to produce E-Core. We can't call someone up and check the phone book like people used to do and call up the E-Core production facility vendors. We have to build the factories, which means we have to fund them. We have to pay, we have to find the sites, we have to pay for everything. We have to secure the financing and all that. So that's what we're doing. And that is addressing the availability. Availability is going to be, of course, a function of the sales and the growth of interest and our offering. That helps us secure, of course, the financing for expanding and partners in different countries. So this is not, from our point of view, this is not an either-or business model. It's a both-and, if I could quote Robert Venturi, extraordinary architect. This is both and. We believe that we can do all of these things, and we don't want to compromise. So, Cindy, does that answer your question?
That sure does. So I have a question, actually, about the material itself. Does it decompose? If it's made out of organic material with high fibers, does it decompose, and how long does it take? Because I've seen it's beautifully designed furniture, and can it be used outdoors?
Well, that again, this is central to what we're doing, and I'm happy now to address what ECOR is and what it does. That we have a base of our most basic material we call ECOR Raw. That's RA. And RA is short for raw aesthetic, and we like putting the aesthetic term in there just to remind everybody of how beautiful it is. So that's ECOR Raw. We also have what we call ECOR HP, which is high performance. Raw has no additive. It has no sealant. It has no resin. It doesn't have any paint. It has nothing. It just comes off of the line, and it is pure cellulose fiber, possibly some other components that are put into the pulp, but it is clean and the water is recycled. So that's raw. Then we have HP. We had a development effort at the USDA on ECOR, on our product, that was funded by the Department of Defense towards looking at resin infusion into the raw panels. The problem was that it was around boxes for the backs of Humvees and containers for clinics for forward deployment. In other words, these things are lifted up by helicopters. So the cross-section of the walls of each of these things were anywhere between 4 inches and 6 inches. And aluminum is extremely expensive, although it's a high performer, very light. So they funded our development with ECOR, and it was extremely successful when we infused resins into ECOR. And now we have very, very eco-positive resins. In fact, three of them in particular. So the performance, in fact, for those engineers out there, we added 17% to the weight of the panel by adding the resin. We gained 400% of structural performance in tension and bending, compression, other things. So that's HP. So we have both of those. Now, your question is around decomposition, which is core to the cradle-to-cradle certification. In other words, can you compost it? There are actually different categories of certification. And we have our raw and three versions of HP that are cradle-to-cradle certified. Some of them will actually decompose in an outdoor environment. They are not intended for use outdoors. The resin-infused ones, some of them can be used outdoors. They're UV-resistant, ultraviolet-resistant, and they're waterproof and they're high strength. They can't be composted. In other words, if it's waterproof, it's waterproof. So it won't break down. However, when it is pulverized and put back in the pulp, it is not toxic. So that has a tremendous environmental value. So we have both. We get asked about, okay, well, I understand that that you have the raw version, which is not waterproof. Well, that's for interior applications. I can tell you that particle board and MDF and the products in your shelves and your tables that are in the room you're in, those are not waterproof, and neither is ECOR in its base form. Our view is we do not add additives. We don't add anything if it's not necessary, because minimally it has a carbon footprint, and maximally it creates problems in recycling and all kinds of things. So if it's not necessary, we just don't do it. However, the raw product will go into a compost pile, and it will decompose, and it's pure cellulose fiber. which is great. In fact, if you wanted to, you could probably eat it and chew on it. I have yet to see anybody do it. I would volunteer, you know, for a price. But seriously, it actually is the pulp in the factory. It would be fine to even drink. So it's that clean. So it will decompose. Other questions we get around this are, well, what about termites? What about bugs? Will they eat it? And how long will it last before it starts breaking down structurally, even for interior applications? Well, first of all, it will last as long as it's kept dry, just like paper that's been, it can last for many centuries. In fact, thousands of years if it's kept in a cool, dry place. It just doesn't want to break down. The cellulose fibers do not want to break down. They want to stick together for the long term. So in any case, am I helping you here?
Excellent.
Can I answer your question?
Excellent. I think you've given us a really great overview of what is possible. I'm very excited about the design possibilities, about all of the products. I was looking at the website to see more, and I encourage people to go look. And the website is at ecorusa.com, ecorusa.com. And thanks to your some tweeters from Ecor or Ecor fans, Ecor Global. And thanks, shout out to fans of the show, Alicia Dixon, Gil Zibberfield, Hercules, Giadis, and thanks to our regular listeners. We've come to the end of the show, Robert, I'm sure we could talk a lot more about this, and I'd even would love to do a visual webcast with you to give us more details. So we can talk about that opportunity offline if you'd like.
Yeah, Cindy, well, listen, thanks a million. And I tell you, we're just getting started, but I really appreciate it. Love to follow up, and the visuals are great. And then next time around, I can spend a little bit more time talking to designers and what's possible. This, as a designer, this is really the fun part. But we'll save that for the next round.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Robert Noble, who is the founder and CEO of Noble Environmental Technologies. Thank you to the Edison Awards, which are coming up in person, but I believe that this week they are announcing finalists. Very exciting. Thank you to StartupProduct.com, AIPMM.com, Sprint.ly. Check them out to find out how to view the software development process across the company at sprint.ly. And join us next week here on the Global Product Management Talk, where we have our speaker next week is, I have to pull up the schedule. You can find it at startupproduct.com/schedule. And Paul O'Connor is coming up. He's the founder of the Adept Group, and we'll go back to talking about software. I do look forward to speaking with you again. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to Studio 132 and BZ Lewis, and have a great week.
On a dry winter leaf, I wouldn't know love if you found me.